everyone, and
setting me up. And thank you for coming to the special meeting. Let me just apologize first to my colleagues, to the staff, and obviously to all in the audience who are here for one or both of these agenda items. Chairwoman Dmitrievich, and rightfully so, has asked the chairs to be more cognizant about special meetings, board day meetings, that kind of thing, and she's absolutely right. This puts an extra burden on all of us. And this one was my issue because of item number one, so I just want you all to know that I did not feel comfortable taking it up at the regular meeting, but we will get better. So, Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Supervisors. Harris? Here. Schmidt?
Here.
Johnson?
Here.
Weishan?
Here.
Broderick?
Here.
Sanfilippo?
Here.
Mr. Chair?
Here.
7 members present, we have a quorum.
Madam Clerk, read item number one, please.
Item number one, from the Fiscal and Budget Administrator, Department of Administrative Services, requesting authorization to apply for and accept Edward Byrne Memorial Justice Assistance Grant Fund.
Okay, good morning. We have with us Ms. Teotihuahua Horse, Mr. Josh Fudge. I'll let you guys start.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Thank you for scheduling this special committee meeting. My name is Josh Fudge. I'm a fiscal and management analyst in DAS Fiscal, sort of the administrator of the JAG grant. I guess first I'll provide a brief overview of the JAG grant and then a little bit about the process and what you have before you. The JAG grant is a federal grant provided by the U.S. Department of Justice. It's meant to fund supplemental services for law enforcement agencies. It is an interesting grant in that it's technically awarded to the cities, most of the largest cities across the country, but in most large urban and most cities, the requirement is that the city splits the grant with the county in which that city is located, and that's because counties obviously don't prosecute a large number of crimes relative to what the cities prosecute. However, they bear the cost of investigation, prosecution, and incarceration. So the process is we were notified in mid-March by the U.S. government that the allocation was available and that we should begin the application process. At that point, we began negotiating with the city of Milwaukee. There are two other municipalities that are allocated funds, West Dallas and Wauwatosa, as has been past practice because their amounts are relatively small compared to the city. The county did not attempt to negotiate with them, left them to their allocations. An agreement was reached between the city and the county on a funding split as in past years. The split is approximately 41% for the county, 59% for the city of the city's allocation. Included in that is an agreement that the county would fund two-thirds of the cost of the CJC coordinator at the Public Policy Forum. That's similar to the 2011 version of the grant. And then the city would fund one-third of that cost out of their allocation. That left approximately $337,000 in funding for the county, at which point we advertised the funding availability to the departments that have routinely received funds, the Office of the Sheriff, the District Attorney, and Combined Courts. Once we received their request, we got about $866,000 in requests from the three departments and with $337,000 available in funding. We in DAS Fiscal took a look at those requests, made recommendations to the Office of the County Executive, and his office ultimately determined the allocations that you see before you in the report. And so we're here today basically to request that we apply for this funding and accept it. This is a part of the application process. It has to have a public hearing for the public to comment on the spending plan that you have before you. And once this hearing today is finished, then we can send the agenda to the U.S. Department of Justice along with our finalized spending plan, and that'll complete the application process. And if there are any questions, I'll be happy to answer.
Ms. Torres, did you want to add anything before we go to the committee?
I'm here to answer any questions about the county executive's decisions on the funding allocations if needed.
Surprise question.
Hey, Mr. Chairman, at this time, I'd like to move approval of the
Okay, a motion has been made on this item.
Quick question.
Okay, so Frederick Schmidt.
A quick question. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The split between West Dallas and Tulsa, how's that percentage figured out?
Those figures are what was in the U.S. Department of Justice's allocation, so those figures were determined by the U.S. DOJ.
Thank you.
I've been informed that as we sit here, we are getting an amendment. And Madam Clerk, if you could read your amendment.
The amendment following line 43 amend the proposed by adding the text as follows. Be it further resolved that the joint spending plan for Milwaukee County's J grant application shall be allocated as follows. Funding of $53,600 is provided to partially fund the position of Community Justice Council Coordinator. $60,000 is provided to the courts, and the balance of funding of $277,400 is split equally between the district attorney and the office of the sheriff to remain consistent with the distribution of funding from the 2011 J grant.
Thank you. Supervisor Santolippo, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is more or less a housekeeping issue further allocate the remaining money, $77,000, because it calls it split the same way that we split last year between the sheriff and the district attorney. It's after the $60,000 is taken out with the CKC coordinator, and then the $63,600 is consistent with what was recommended in the county executive's plan. So all this does, because the original resolution didn't break the funds down between the sheriff and the district attorney, and it passed because we allocated that money and split up. So all this is doing is just saying the same practice we did last year.
Okay. Supervisor Weishaupt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I see from the original item for us what the district attorney's office plans on spending the $277,000 on. But I don't see in this amendment what the sheriff's department plans on spending. What would be $150,000?
That's probably a good segue to have Inspector Schmidt join us at the table. And Mr. John Creevy. So, Supervisor Weishaupt, I'm going to look to you again to maybe ask that question. I'm sure they heard that, maybe for those listening in.
If the Sheriff's Department could explain what their allocation is spent on it.
All right, Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, I have prepared a couple of remarks regarding that very issue, which I hope are helpful to that. The Sheriff's Office, first of all, appreciates your efforts, Mr. Chairman, and on what you've done to attempt to properly and fairly disperse Justice Assistant Grant funds, and with this amendment that was put forward today by the Supervisor. From 2006 to 2011, the Sheriff's Office had administered this grant. The County Executive has now placed the administration of this grant with this particular office. The results in, as the grant was presented this morning before the amendment, was that the County Executive has now refused to provide any of the grant funds to the Sheriff's Office, attempting to set a new precedent. I personally met with County Executive staff, as you, Mr. Chairman, and attempted to find a reasonable solution. No movement to this time had taken place in the county executive office. To answer the question specifically, the sheriff's office will use the funds specific to enhancing park patrols from responding to incidents to directed patrols, an issue that numerous supervisors have discussed with me in the very recent past, in other words, in the last month. 48 deputies were laid off this year. The sheriff's office has been adjusting to 48 less deputies and over $13 million in cuts in 1 year. The Justice Assistance Grant would properly provide funds, needed funds, to provide enhanced patrols. Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office is the only agency that bears the title of Milwaukee County. The Sheriff's Office is indeed a Milwaukee County agency, yet it is the only eligible agency which the county executive chose not to include in this grant. Milwaukee Police Department, West Dallas Police Department, Wauwatosa Police Department, the District Attorney's Office, and the courts, all of course extremely important offices as well and departments, will receive the entire split of the $866,000, and without this amendment, the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office would receive zero. Historically, the Sheriff's Office has received no less than 40% of the county's portion of this particular grant. The balance was equitably split with the District Attorney's Office and the courts. The Sheriff's Office requests that the county board do one of two things, either deny the acceptance of the grant until the Sheriff's has provided a fair percentage, or that, of course, this amendment would be approved. Thank you.
Okay, Supervisor Weiss. Thank you. Well, one, in the amendment, I don't see any reference to park patrols or what actually the sheriff would be using it for on that. And I think it's a bit disingenuous to say that the sheriff somehow cares about the park patrol now. The Milwaukee County Board appropriated $1.5 million specifically for the Targeted Enforcement Unit and Park Patrol. The sheriff has decided to end those programs, so there is absolutely no guarantee that this money would actually be used for the stated purposes today. I would just hope that my colleagues, that we would stick with the original item before us, and that we can be rest assured that the District Attorney's Office will fully utilize the $277,000 and to the maximum benefit of our communities. Okay.
Thank you, Supervisor Rush. Inspector Schmidt, then I would, and I'm sorry, Ms. Torhorst, I should have gone to Mr. Creevy, but I will come back to you. So, Inspector.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to correct a misstatement that was made, I'm sure not on purpose, in that the Sheriff's Office is disbanded TDU. In fact, I just transferred a couple of weeks ago an additional 21 individuals full-time to the TDU unit. They're assigned to do just that. They're on the lakefront this weekend. We do respond to emergency situations in all the parks. The issue being that we cannot have the quote-unquote directed patrols where we literally have all of our deputies assigned to parks at this point, as I've gone through. We have 48 less deputies, we have $13 million less dollars to work with, and that unit is indeed in place, and they're full-time doing nothing but that particular function of the parks.
Okay. And I know Supervisor Weishon has some other comments. I don't necessarily want to start a debate right the second. I want to hear Mr. Creevy, I want to hear Mrs. Torhorst, and then we'll come back, Supervisor Weishon, okay? Mr. Creevy.
Thank you, Chair. Somewhat implied in the amendment was the same as allocated in 2011. The 2011 allocation of the grant was $159,104 for the Assistant District Attorneys, $159,104 for Park Patrol overtime. So when we say split money, it is now $138,700 for the Assistant District Attorneys, $138,700 for the Park Patrol overtime. If the grant is approved, allocating money for Park Patrol overtime, the sheriff cannot spend it on anything else. We are no longer the grant administrator. We cannot reprogram the money. We have to come back to the board, come back to the county exec to attempt to reprogram it anyway. So there should be no concern about giving us the money if we choose to do something else with it. In addition, some confusion I didn't realize may have been there with Park Patrol and the way the budget was set up with TDU. The budget always set up as 25 full-time equivalent positions. It was never historically implied that there were 25 people in that unit at all times. In the winter, there are much less people. In the summer, it grows to sometimes as many as 60 people. The budget is set up for a full-time equivalent of 25. So it will spend that full budget on PEU activities.
Ms. Torres, I apologize. Trying to be fair here, I would like to hear, obviously you represent the county executive, please.
Good morning, Chairman, Supervisors. I just wanted to provide some insight into our end of the grant disbursement. We received the applications from the three separate units, and I think all of us understand that the county executive is very interested in not necessarily maintaining the status quo, but evaluating every program at its straight level and trying to determine what is the best use of all the county funds. In this case, it's federal funds that come through the county. In his understanding, that still we are the administrator of those funds, so in his opinion, he wants to use them as most responsibly as he can. One of the goals of the county executive is to move the county forward in ensuring that all of the dollars serve the county as best as possible. The request received from the sheriff included, in, if it has changed, the request was for 2013 overtime for the Park Patrol. We believe that that request should be best made and deliberated in the budget deliberations. The request from the deputy for the district attorney's office is also for 2013. This program has never been funded with tax levy. It has always been funded through J grant for the last, I believe, 3 years. And it's a project that's only eligible because of grant funding. It's a program that the county executive feels that is incredibly valuable in our community and helps connect people directly with the community justice system at the ground level. The other process that we have endorsed is through the courts to increase funding for one position for the intake as we move forward with the evidence-based decision-making model that the courts has universal screening that they receive funding for this year. Because of the greater demands on that program, they felt that having an additional body to help screen those individuals would be critical in moving forward. This wasn't a decision that we purposefully cut the sheriff out. It was balancing the grant requests as they were received and weighing the costs and benefits of each and trying to find the best program to move forward with this, quite honestly, dwindling amount of money. Next year, we hope that the sheriff will come forward with a program that is a little more thoughtful and innovative, and we would very much consider funding a program at that time. This year's allocation, though, the decision was made that the best use of the money was as distributed.
Thank you, Ms. Torres. I'm going to go back to my colleagues. Supervisor Weishaupt, and then Schmidt, and then Johnson, okay?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess there is a bit of a trust factor here, which I'm not willing to take. Once again, in the amendment, even though it says distribution from the 2000, consistent with the sheriff's department still has constitutional authority to do with how he wants to deploy his people, and you see that with they have decided not to patrol county parks other than where the television cameras show up on the lakefront. The fact is that I believe we're going on a month now that almost half of this board had sent a letter to the sheriff's department asking for someone for him to articulate the patrolling of our parks. I know many of my of our colleagues here had signed that letter. I have yet to receive any type of response from the sheriff's department on that. Now we're hearing claims today that there's 25 people have been transferred and they want to use stuff for overtime. Unfortunately, I don't believe that will be a long-lasting situation, and that I think when I look at where will the money best be spent for Milwaukee County, I think you can be very assured that by funding the district attorney's office and the funding for the assistant district attorneys through October 2013, that is where Milwaukee County will see the best bang for its buck, not having a handful of deputy sheriffs sit down at the lakefront and not responding to our constituents in our parks. So my concern is the protection of the citizens of Milwaukee County. I feel that is best served by funding the district attorney's office.
Inspector Schmidt, did you want to respond to that, please?
Mr. Chairman, the comments that were made, I mean, it's degrading, it's inappropriate. It's unfortunate, I guess, is the only thing I can say to that. The sheriff's office has put those people out at the lakefront. They do respond to emergencies. Yesterday, as a matter of fact, there was a point in aiming at a particular park in Milwaukee, of which we were the first ones on the scene. Milwaukee Police Department has always responded as well, and they did take the investigation, but this is not unusual. We do respond to emergency situations and so forth. We would love to get back to the directed patrols, which the supervisor definitely wants. We would too. However, if we don't have the appropriate funding for it and we don't have the staff to do it, it's impossible. Local jurisdictions, the other agencies, 19 municipalities in Milwaukee County, I'm sure they would all enjoy having more park patrol from the sheriff's office as well. We don't have the funding nor the resources to do it at this point. I was a little taken back by what the county executive described as more thoughtful and innovative. This is a thoughtful and extremely important function that has just been stated again by one of the supervisors. This is something you want. The supervisors want. Your constituents want. If we don't have the funding, we don't have the money, the local municipalities have to pick up the slack. And that's what they've been doing, and we'll have to do more this year until we get additional funding. So this is an extremely important issue, and it's one which we brought forward, and certainly it's obviously the policy decision of the board as to which direction they choose to go. Again, this is no slight on any of the other organizations. They're all equally important. We understand that. I would never even attempt to say we deserve more than someone else, but I think what is fair to say, and what the county executive made a very strong statement last year, was that this money was to be fairly and equitably split, and now we're hearing something different, that this isn't proper for the sheriff's office to receive funding. I was going to hold this comment, but this is an obvious political statement by the county executive to the sheriff's office, and it is what it is. But I would think in the interest of public safety, in the interest of what many of the supervisors have expressed to us they want, this is a way to help mitigate that problem. Thank you.
I'm going to look to Supervisor Schmidt, and I'll be Johnson, Central Local.
Yes, well, this is more than interesting, putting this in the middle again. This is usual of people who are cooperating very well or for talking to each other very well, unfortunately. Or I guess you did have a meeting. Well, let me just ask so I understand your amendment first, okay? So, 53,006 is the money that comes off the 391 that gets us back to 337. So Supervisor Sanfilippo, I guess I'm asking just in the amendment, unless it's so obvious to everybody else, that the only change in amendment, the other funding stays, except if you want to split the monies that the county executive decided just to give to the Milwaukee district attorney, so they'd be 138, like they said, 137, 600 apiece. So that's the only change in the funding. I'm talking about this, but okay. All right.
If you want to that Supervisor Sanfilippo was confirming that.
Yes, that is the only difference. It rolls us back to keep it consistent with what we've done every other year. And while most recently I was on the Judiciary Committee, I had in the beginning of my first term in 2008,
And it took several months to work this formula out between the county departments and the city, and I remember going back and forth and back and forth. So it finally worked the settlement out, and it's been in place for these number of years, and all of a sudden now it's changed. Now, say,
that speaks to my question. Thank you. So I have also had a hiatus of a couple of years. I thought these funds were out. So how many years do these funds go back, and how many years has there been, has there, for how many years there been, is it, was it pretty pro rata or pretty, you know, pretty mundane that you're going to split the money all the time? Is that the way it has been, and how many years has that been going on?
Well, Mr. Preeby, or I don't know, Mr. Fudge, maybe, or even, let's look to Mr. Preeby first.
I was the JAG grant administrator from 2006 through last year. At that point, the fund, the total pot of money splits differently every year. Sometimes, in negotiations, it's trying to get a larger share. It's when you get maybe $600,000, and then did it get anything for the next two as they drew down that $600,000 to get several years to spend it. Other years it would be split differently. But in general, it was always a fairly equal split between four participants when the House of Correction was a separate entity. After the merge, now it's three participants sharing the funds. And the last few years, it has been this settled, equal split between the general.
And Mr. Fudge, you can pretty much confirm that?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Make sure that we're
confirmed. Thank you. Please continue to. So it's a negotiation. We're not part of that negotiation. I don't know what happened this last negotiation. I'm hearing a couple sides here, and you're trying to fit in or whatever. But what I would like to know is that I never like it when, and we argue this in the budget a lot, too. And I was not for this. I never like it. Everybody had to take a bite. Unfortunately, the sheriff took a very large bite. Our employees have taken very large bites the last couple of years, by the way, also. Okay? So it's not like, you know, everybody's got a bite to pull it together, and I'm afraid that's the way it is. Other departments have done this over the past couple of years, too. So that being as it may, okay, we had to work it out. And I understand then about, you know, numbers and et cetera, et cetera. What I don't like, though, is the fact that you go from 137,000, 150, whatever, okay, in that area, to zero. I don't think that's right. Okay, I argue that during the budget EMS, we tried to go from, you know, Supervisor Mikowski, we certainly know, okay, down to zero. I wasn't for that in any of the budgets. Was I for cutting all the budgets? Yeah, I was. Okay, it's the way it was. It was reality. We had to do these things to ourselves, to the employees, okay, to the sheriff, et cetera. Okay, so you know what, we're not getting all the information here. I really don't appreciate or understand how we go from, you know, so much money that is, seems necessary in the budgets of these departments, the courts. I don't want to, you know, take it away from the courts. I'm not interested in taking things away from the district attorney. But I'm also not interested in taking away some kind of supplement the sheriff's budget has always seemed to receive and justify here. Now, a problem we do have is that maybe they had a chance in the county executive just said no, wasn't innovative enough or whatever. But I think Mr. Preeby made a statement, and I'd like Mr. Fudge or someone else to verify that. So if we would put some of these funds back, I'm not sure how we do this. We just split it. I mean, I like to see something a little more scientific and how exactly this was figured out. I mean, I know we have this put on paper. We're not privy to all the decisions being made behind closed doors, okay? But this is... I don't feel very good about this exactly, you know, how we justify all this, and then all of a sudden the sheriff gets nothing, okay? And with the comment, I don't want to forget about that, maybe I'll be done, okay? I'm not very happy about all this, okay? Is that the decision not to give any, and again, I just don't quite understand the process here. If you could help me out again. Here's a question that I was thinking about again. I'm sorry. I'm losing my train of thought a little bit. There's so much confusion here. Is that on the... I just lost it again. How we figured out... you said the money, if we gave the sheriff some of this money, if we had to split or whatever monies we figured out possibly, okay, how do we know... Or the Justice Assistant Grant is just given for a very, very specifics here. So the sheriff would have to use it for the tactical enforcement unit, the TEU. So then we're saying that, well, we really don't think the TDU needs any money. Okay? Is that a fair summary then from the county executive from the bus board?
Okay. I'm going to look to any of you before. I saw Josh's hand, so Mr. Fudge, go ahead, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, supervisors. To answer your question on the process as far as certainty that the funds will be spent on the park patrol, if we submit to the DOJ the spending plan that includes funds for the park patrol, then I can only reimburse the sheriff for documented costs for the park patrol. If the sheriff's office sends me a $100,000 request to fund a new car or a new piece of equipment, I would turn that down and say that's not consistent with what was approved by the U.S. Department of Justice.
Okay, Ms.
I just wanted to, again, clarify that this is for 2013 Park Patrol overtime, so this is for a budget that we've even yet to approve. So there may be deliberations that occur within the next budget that would affect this if the board saw fit to increase funding for the TEU as it did this year with the $1.5 million. This $150,000 in the county executive opinion is a small amount of money in the larger pool of the sheriff's department, which you know, we are closely monitoring and concerned about the possible deficit of this year. And, you know, I tried to get assurances that if this money was allocated in this way, that the sheriff would do his best to come in at a zero deficit. And the sheriff's representatives were unable to assure us of that. So I think that while this $150,000 for 2013 may be the allocation that the board would like to see equally split, in our opinion, that right now the sheriff hasn't shown that the current year funding is enough, so, you know, next year they should have a discussion about what should be the allocation for the 2013 budget.
Thank you. On Supervisor Schmitz, anything from the Sheriff's Department on his question? If not, thank you. I'm going to look to Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. District Attorney, just could you speak to my question? I'd like to know if this amendment were approved, how that would affect your either having or your allocation of assistant district attorneys.
Sure. Thank you, Supervisor Johnson, and Chairperson Borkowski, and all the board members. That's a fundamental difference right there in what's being requested, and Ms. Toros identified that. And so what we're talking about is this is the only opportunity that the county board has to actually fund district attorney positions in this county. Since we broke away in funding streams in 1990, the county's no longer responsible for attorney positions in our office. So since the last time we spoke to you, we've actually lost eight attorney positions in the DA's office, and those were all federally funded. The Milwaukee Police Department actually reallocated funding from their J. Byrne allocation so that we could keep two of those positions alive. So in essence, we've had a net loss of six ADA positions, primarily in the domestic violence unit and the drug unit. And then we've been struggling to maintain our attorney positions with the J. Byrne funding. Now those attorney positions are generally the community prosecutor positions. So that's the only distinction here. I'm not arguing the merits of any other application or request for funding. I'm simply indicating that our request is based on what we project. And again, we have to do this on an annual basis, so we're not going to get an opportunity. If we lose these fundings, I can't come back to the board and say, you know what, I would love for you to refund community prosecutors, because you can't do it. It's simply not it's not part of your authority anymore, rightfully so. It's the state's responsibility to do that, but traditionally they have not supported us on program revenue issues. We've had to get that funding through the federal system. I can defend every single one of these positions. I can defend every single one of the federal grant-funded positions that we've obtained now going on 20 years. We've been able to provide extraordinary service to the community through that supplement. But the reality is that the federal grant funding is diminishing by the day. So we are currently at 123.5 full-time positions in the DA's office, down from approximately 100. Or I'm sorry, it's 123, down from about 131 at the peak. And again, that's about a third of the office being funded by federal grants, attorney positions, to the tune of administering 12 different federal grants. So our request in this budget was based, again, we documented what we use them for, and we're projecting into the 2013 budget. That's the other major distinction here, is that we're looking at continuity of service and making sure that we're providing your constituents direct access to problem-solving assets right down at the neighborhood level. That's what these positions do for the most part, with the exception of also looking to maintain our efforts in addressing critical needs and domestic violence. So our request was actually for $328,000, and that's not quibbling. We're not being ungrateful here. That's just telling you what the projected cost of maintaining those positions into the next budget cycle would be. With the current allocation, what we can project is that we would be able to maintain those services and maintain that continuity. And so that's our major distinction between us and the Sheriff's Department, for example, and that is that you do have the ability to intervene with respect to the Sheriff's Department's budget on law enforcement-related issues. You don't have as much ability to do so, with the exception of working with these Jake Byrne grant funds. So that's our position on it. And again, we've been grateful for the support of this board on any number of critical issues where we try to directly intervene in critical public safety issues, whether it's on witness protection or certainly the funding that you do provide us for our support staff, the vast majority of which goes to supporting victims and witnesses and doing our administrative services. But even in that area, and I want to make it perfectly clear that we suffer from the same issues that everyone else suffers from, and that sometimes goes overlooked, and that is that we've taken dramatic cuts to our budget as well. So when I started, we had approximately 160 full-time employees, county employees in the DA's office. That's down to roughly 140 right now. And so even in the current budget, we're struggling because the state, most significantly because the state reduced our reimbursement for victim funds. We projected to the county that it would be approximately 50%, and it was reduced to 40%. We don't know how that's going to be made up. That's roughly $250,000 of a budget hole. So we get the issue of significant, but at the same time, we have always worked with you. When issues like this come up, I don't just send Jim Martin. I come myself. I talk to you directly because that's how important it is, and I do that out of respect for the work that you're doing in the difficult positions that you put in. And I appreciate that you shouldn't feel like you're being squeezed on making no-win decisions here. But all I can tell you is, this is our request. It's made in complete good faith. We can document what we use the positions for. We can tell how we project that would be used to maintain critical services. And you have my commitment to obviously work with you on these important issues in the future.
Thank you, Mr. District Attorney. Supervisor Johnson, you still have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. District Attorney Jason, with respect to the six positions that have been lost, what time for it?
That would literally be from roughly June of last year. It's actually a total of 8 positions that we have lost funding for from June of last year. And again, it's impossible to compare that to other agencies, but it's proportional. I mean, that's a significant loss of funding. And again, we've received, both historically and to the present, we've had other agencies, particularly law enforcement agencies, like West Dallas, for example, who stepped up to the plate about 5 years ago, and they they voluntarily surrendered some of their Jake Byrne funding so that we could maintain a community prosecutor in District Number 4 and West Dallas. South Milwaukee did the same thing. And just most recently, the City of Milwaukee Police Department's done the same thing. So it's not an issue of us not communicating with each other, working with each other on a daily basis. It gets harder, when everybody is faced with the same constraint, and that is, termination of federal funding streams and the lack of adequate support from the state.
Thank you very much. I've been on the community justice coordinating. I want to underscore this reporting coordinating council since the beginning, along with some of the others who've been in this room. And given that this funding, this JAG grant funding, is very important to the retention of those 88 positions, I'm going to vote for the amendment. However, I want to tell the county executive's office that it's very important, I believe, to get some money to in the next budget to the sheriff's office. This is a paltry sum of money with respect to the district attorney's budget, the court's budget, and the sheriff's budget, as far as what's in front of us now. But this political stuff, in my opinion, has got to stop. We're talking about public safety. We're talking about public safety, and and with respect to, as I said before, as far as the coordinating council is concerned, it's been in existence for about 5 years. The chairman of the board at the time, who has a seat on the council, did not necessarily want to be at the meetings, and as the judiciary committee was given that responsibility. I'm saying it again, with respect to the 2013 budget, it's very important to be politicized with respect to public safety and funding of public safety. Today, we have a small amount in front of us. It's federal money. Money comes from the federal government. The state has not been forthcoming consistently in giving monies that could be used for assistant district attorney's positions. So I just wanted to say that. I'm going to vote for the amendment today, but I hope that the war pretty much dissipates as time goes on. And I'll say that to the county executive branch, because I think that taking $13 million from the sheriff's budget and really with respect to public safety, and I know that over the years the former county executive, the previous county executive, had provided funds, but as far as this politicization is concerned, it's got to stop. Public safety means that we're all safe, or we're as safe as we can be, as it relates to what needs to be done, whether it be for the courts or the district attorney's office or for the sheriff's office, whether in the jails or outside the jails. So I'm going to vote for the amendment today, but I've said what I need to say for right now. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Well, thank you, Supervisor Johnson, and as you obviously know, you're going to have a front row seat as chairman of the Finance and Audit Committee. So.
Yes, sir.
Let me look to Supervisor Santolopo, and then I see Supervisor Weishaupt. We do have a guest in the audience that would like to speak. I appreciate Mr. Harvey's patience, so thank you. So, Supervisor Santolopo.
Thank you, Chairman. Just wanted to respond to some of the comments by one of our colleagues here, on responsiveness in the Sheriff's Department. I have a phone in the Sheriff's Department. Recently, a stretch of river in my district, I was seeing complaint constituents had cars when I see through here, 50 miles an hour, greater, making that, first of all, the lights in the park were out because we had a 50-year-old transformer that blew out in the middle of last fall and so old it needed to be repaired.
The squirrel was found laying in the street.
So my contact with the Sheriff's Department, within 2 days, they had somebody out there doing radar, stopped every car that was going over 40 miles an hour, until speed limit 25, they still stopped dozens of cars. So they have been responsible. With regards to comments made as a layman, so I remember just thinking in the last 2 years, in the springtime, we had major problems down there in the lakefront that the Sheriff's Department had to take to get under control, which they did, and the rest of the summer, the lakefront was peaceful. So the fact of the matter is, and I sympathize with the position of district attorneys in every department in the county, Mr. Reed's clipped with money right now, but we've historically taken this money and it's fair services as well as with it. And I think that, you know, you're going to be the first ones to jump on the sheriff's back if something happens, if something gets killed, or there's another riot that gets out of control. And but we're the ones really that cut his funding and led to him having to make the decisions that he has to make. So I don't think that at this point in time it, he should be messing with this formula that's been agreed upon for the last 2 years. Sheriff Harvey, I respect the role that they perform, and I appreciate that, and I like being able to call them up when I have an issue in parks in my district and say, hey, can you do something for me? And you have to remember, we got $13 million out of their budget. I mean, that's a massive amount of money. And so, while, you know, maybe some may think that $150,000 is a drop in the pot compared to their overall budget, still, you know, $150,000, that's a lot of money. At the end of the day, the district attorney will get half of the 277, half of what they're projecting, so they still will be able to restore some positions. And then we'll take a look at this grant when it comes again next year. I would recommend that we approve the amendment, we approve the original resolution, then as amended, and move forward with the process to let them come back to us with a more well thought out plan going forward. And I would just want to respond to Mr. Richard Johnson. I agree. I think, you know, I think that this thing has gotten caught up in a lot of politics. And, you know, it seems to be in vogue to bash the sheriff these days. And there's a lot of tit for tat going back and forth. And Mr. Richard Johnson is exactly correct. At the end of the day, we're talking about the safety of the people of Walnut County, our constituents, and their children. And, you know, that's where the politics have to stop, as far as I'm concerned. We can't be playing games with the safety.
Okay. Supervisor Johnson, I've got Supervisor Weish on ahead of you. I want to just look to our people at the front desk here if there was any comments to Supervisor Sanfilippo's. If not, then thank you, Supervisor Weish.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I'd like to refocus back, and I appreciate District Attorney Chisholm coming down here and the comments by the exec's office. This is about the 2013 budget and where you can have an impact. If you want to have an impact on public safety when it comes to funding the district attorney's office, sticking with our original resolution in front of us is the way to go. If you want to increase funding for the Sheriff's Department for 2013, you will have multiple opportunities in the coming months to affect the Sheriff's budget. So if you want to put in more park patrols, if you want to make sure there's a radar gun on some parkway, you can do that. But your chance to affect the district attorney's office is limited. And what you've heard from the district attorney today, that if you want to make sure that there is somebody there to prosecute the domestic violence abuser, if you want someone to actually be able to put the bad guys in jail and make sure they stay there, you know, this is our opportunity to fund the district attorney's office. And put appropriate federal money in the right position. And that's where I think all this talk of politics and people not getting along is a distraction from the real issue that's in front of us. Do you want to have an impact on the public safety in the 2013 budget when it comes to the district attorney's office? If you want to have an impact on the sheriff's budget, you will have multiple opportunities in the future. But I would suggest that in our conversations today that we stay focused on what the item is in front of us, and that is the district attorney's funding here through this grant for 2013. And I would suggest that the best possibility to have a positive impact for our community is to stick with the department's recommendation here and the original resolution. I think the amendment goes back to a time that doesn't exist anymore. Budgets are different, and opportunities for the funding of the Sheriff's Department are different and will be taken up in the 2013 budget. So let's stick with a good recommendation here that's going to fund more district attorneys that are going to help our communities. So that's what's at stake. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor. I don't believe there's a comment that needs to be warranted, so I'm going to look to Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For all that I said, I may have misspoken. The bottom line is that I will be voting against the amendment because, to me, that this is, with respect to the OJA monies, it's very important to get those DAs to make the assistant district attorneys available. But I do stand by what I said with respect to depoliticizing, because I'm going to be one of the co-chairs if our resolution changes for the next cycle, and eventually for the budget, and I'll try to do what I can to make sure that things are more balanced than what they were last year as relates to Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office's funding. I guarantee that, at least from my point. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Mr. Bruce Harvey has been incredibly patient from our audience, and Mr. Harvey, please, I know that you and your role, one of the many hats that you wear, represent the Chief Judge, who obviously has a significant role in all of this, and so I thank you for your patience.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and it feels pretty lonely up here at this point. Just an historical perspective. Well, first of all, I am speaking for the Chief Judge today, who is chairing the Criminal Justice Coordinating Committee. Otherwise, he would have been here. Secondly, historically, the formula that everybody talks about in the community really doesn't exist. There's actually just a negotiation on these funds that occurs between Milwaukee County and the city as far as the distribution as to what dollar amount or percentage that Milwaukee County is going to get. Once Milwaukee County gets that dollar amount, then there's a negotiation between the departments inside Milwaukee County as to how the money is going to be distributed. So in previous years, the courts always negotiated with the Sheriff's Department, the DA's office negotiated with the Sheriff's Department, who was the head, who was the recipient of the funds. That changed last year with the county executive. And the county executive, everybody negotiates and submits their funding plans in, and a determination is made and then it's put before the committee. So formulas really don't exist other than what the dollar amounts are each year. So, having said that, the Chief Judge is opposed to the amendment that was put forward that changes the spending plan as submitted by the county exec. He is supportive of the spending plan, does not approve of or is in opposition to any reduction in the dollar amount that goes to courts, in the dollar amount that goes to the district attorney's office, or in the dollar amount that gets reduced or would be reduced from funding the coordinator for the Criminal Justice Coordinating Council.
Questions from Mr. Harvey. Supervisor Sample.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just curious, when the Sheriff's Department was in charge of dividing the grant funds, did everybody get a piece of the money?
Yes.
So then I'm curious why should all of a sudden now, when the Sheriff, the first time he's not in charge, all of a sudden he get cut out of the deal and not get a piece of the pie? If he was fair with everybody else and distributed the money in the past to all the departments, why at the first opportunity are they knifing him in the back and not giving him a penny?
Thank you, Ms. Torhorse. I was looking for someone from the exec's office, so the floor is yours.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, again, this wasn't a deliberative knifing someone in the back. It was a reading of the grant applications that were before us and looking at what the funds could be used for this year and next year and the opportunities that existed to fund things that we couldn't fund in other ways. Again, next year, the Sheriff, we encourage him to submit a grant application that is more in lines of moving the community forward and funding things that couldn't be typically funded in a budget. And it was not a political statement for this grant. And I do want to point out one other thing. there may be the motion on the floor may be a procedural item. So
I was getting to that, Ms. Torhorst. I wanted to be fair to everybody, and so I wanted people to have their say, and then we're going to look to Attorney Brady and others to see how legit this is, I guess. Mr. Mark, right?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I came back to the table. I'd like to address Supervisor Santopoulos' comment.
Sure.
I haven't looked at historical allocations, and I won't address them, because I think whatever I would say would be wrong, if we could prove wrong. But I do remember vividly what happened last year. I've been the fiscal administrator of the district attorney's office since Milwaukee College started receiving the block grant in the mid to late 1990s. And originally, DAS Fiscal was the fiscal administrator of the grant. And then I believe in 2006, administration was transferred to the sheriff's office. The sheriff administered the grant, I think, from 2006 to 2011. Well, the reason that this committee and the county executive transferred administration of the grant back to DAS Fiscal last year is that there was a dispute between the parties over the allocation of the funds. I don't remember the exact figures, but the only reason that we ended up with an equitable allocation of the funds, the district attorney and the sheriff's office each received approximately $159,000, is that the county executive and this committee intervened. The sheriff proposed, I could be proved wrong on this, but my recollection is that the sheriff proposed giving the district attorney approximately 20% of the money, which would have only provided, I believe, 2 or 3 months of funding for our 5 positions. And it was at that point that the administration of the grant was transferred back to the fiscal, and that the funds were evenly split between the district and the state's office and the sheriff.
Thank you, Mr. Mark. I'm going to look to Supervisor Broderick. Did you have...
I wasn't going, but actually I do have a comment. When one short sheets his own bed, and I think that's what's happened here, since we're going to move this into a political discussion, you can expect this kind of result. And I think much of this the sheriff has brought down himself with an attitude that doesn't necessarily serve the public as much as it attempts to serve the sheriff and his people. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, in fairness to my colleagues, just wanted to make sure that everyone that wanted to say something had an opportunity, and I believe that's the case. Supervisor Schmidt wanted to have some say, but had asked me, because eventually we were going to go to Attorney Brady, I think we've all been watching the commotion between you and the Chief Corporation Counsel. Ms. Walker's in our audience, and so Attorney Grady, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Chairman. As you said, we've been consulting, whispering in the back of the room, and our concern is whether or not the amendment is proper, whether it's in order. Our concern is, and let me back up a second, I know that there's an historical practice with respect to the board trying to set the allocations in this grant application, but Ms. Walker and I have tried, since we've become the management of the Office of Corporation Counsel, to look at things not based solely on what's always happened in the past, but based on what our reading of the law is. And so we haven't had, some time to spend talking in the audience to talk about this, but our concern is that the county board's role in this grant application process is to approve or deny the application, not necessarily to allocate the funds within the application, that we believe, and again, we haven't had a lot of time, but we believe that the allocation is within the county executive's purview. And so I think your authority really is to say, you've given us an application with an allocation formula. We either like that or we don't like that. And I think that we believe that that's probably as far as the county board's rule goes. So if you don't like the allocation, say, don't apply. So that's at least what we're thinking, and that's why we wanted to raise the question. And that would mean that the amendment is out of order. Obviously, the amendment can express the concerns of the committee in a different fashion. I'll tell you that this is why we just don't like the allocation. But it's our thought that this is the administrative function of the exec in association with the application, and not a county board decision to allocate the funds in the application.
So your legal advice is, if we vote on the amendment, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but if we vote on the amendment, there may be some, and let's say it's favorable on the amendment, then in your opinion, you're saying that might not be okay or justified. Are you saying that we can take the vote or don't take the vote or on the amendment?
I'm just looking to Ms. Walker to make sure she doesn't disagree with me, but I think what we're trying to tell you is that we believe that the amendment should be out of order and not voted on.
Yes. So that's what you're saying?
Yes.
That the amendment is out of order. Okay.
Mr.
Chair. I have Supervisor Schmidt. Supervisor Johnson, I'll come to you. I'm sorry. Okay.
Thank you. Well, we came full circle, and I'll be honest with you, when you know, I made my initial comments, and you know, what I was going to say was this. I'm saying that the negotiation has gone on. My earlier comments were, and kind of echoed by my colleagues here, is that I don't think it's a fair process to consider this, because this was a negotiation. And if we're deciding, I don't know, you know, from the sheriff's perspective, you know, I didn't like the idea that we just split the monies now, because there's always been negotiations, so I wasn't going to hold for the amendment just to split. You know, I don't have any facts. I don't know exactly how much. I think it's documented from the combined courts and the district attorney. And by the way, that the combined courts for cuts for labor zero, the district attorney cuts for labor, I'd be very the same points, by the way. I think the sheriff does that. Unfortunately, the sheriff isn't. This is a public discussion. It is politics. Give me a break. Okay? And, you know, both sides, you know, we should take sides here. Okay, who wins when we take sides? Is it for public safety? Sure. Is it for the courts? Sure. You know what? I got to tell the people just to chill out and start negotiating good faith there and really trying to do what's best. Okay? So I wasn't going to vote for this. I wasn't going to vote for the darn Jay, well, either just in protest because I didn't like this whole process. I didn't like the fact we put in this position, as I said earlier. I don't like your fact all of a sudden, you know, I understand a colleague trying to do something here. I'd be in favor of doing something for the sheriff. Again, I think that's consistent with what I've been trying to do in the budgets. I don't think it's fair for anybody to go from nothing, from over here, $159,000 last year to zero, okay? Now, whether they, you know, justify their points or something, but certainly, you know, we look at budgets, and it's, you certainly should, the sheriff should be getting something, okay? So I think it puts a position here, you know, I don't know if you have know, the J grant. This one question I have, and I'll try to be done again, is that this can't be delayed. You can't look at it here. So this is what we have. Okay. Yes, sir.
All right, Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Brady, I found what basis would the board not be able to have attendance on this committee? Is it part of the grant, part of the provisions of the grant? Because we're in this country, we have three branches of government. Are you telling me that the legislative branch has no say so over what the administrative branch, or the executive branch, has done as well? I'm asking the basis upon which you are making the comments that you're making.
I agree.
This committee, as it relates to this amendment.
Mr. Chairman, hurt ball for you.
Mr. Chairman, I didn't want to make, and I was not intending to make that kind of a speaker generalization. The county board has all authority to oversee the county executive. But it's our belief that based on the limited amount of information that we reviewed this morning, the grant application process says governing body approves one of the executives applying the grant, but the federal grant guidelines gives the authority to the executive, the CEO, if you will, of the municipality. It may not be the county executive in other places, maybe somebody else, like here, it's the county executive, the authority to make that application. So it's not something that Greg answered your question based on our understanding of how this grant.
This particular grant, as opposed to all federal grants.
Yes.
I would vigorously challenge you with respect to some sweeping statement that your office would say with respect to all grants. That's why I'm asking if it's this particular grant that you're directing your comments toward.
The only comments this morning are directed to this particular grant.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Okay. Supervisor Santelope.
Thank you, sir. I think it's not fair for us to throw the Corporation Council on the spot without making really vet something and expect them to give us an opinion that we can counter. They don't have enough time to just look at this specifically and counter telling us that something that we've done, we've always done in the past, well, so we can't.
Okay.
And as Supervisor Johnson brings up, we are the policy making branch. The executive is the administrator. We set the policy to administer. So but I would recommend, under the time frame, that we lay this over till 9 o'clock on board day. We've already heard all the testimony. All we need is 10 minutes to approve this thing under a dollar. Lay it over to 9 o'clock on board day. Give Corporation Council time to really look and see if the amendment is proper or not. And also give the departments time, more importantly, give the departments time to maybe rework this thing and come back with a recommendation that is more evenly spread the money out. It doesn't throw us in the middle of this thing. Supervisor should have brought it in the first place. So they can come back to us on Thursday with the agreement. Gabriel allocates the money. We get this thing done in 5 or 10 minutes. But so I hope that we'll let over till Thursday, 9 a.m.
Okay. On the layover, Supervisor Weishaupt. Thank you. I would hope we wouldn't lay the item over. I think we all are in a position to make a decision today. And two, I think you would run up against some time frames with the appropriate public notices and things like that. So I'm not sure if you could actually accomplish what's being attempted. Thank you.
I hear what you're saying, Supervisor. You're right. Was there someone else that wanted to speak on the... Let me look to Corporation Council. Supervisor Weishaupt brings up a good point about the timing. It's now 10:20, so we're within less than 24 hours. Would you guys have enough time to do your research to figure out if we're actually able to take this up? These are all valid points, okay? And so I'm looking for some legal guidance.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure offhand when we have the time, but Supervisor Weishaupt does raise the point of public notice for the county board. 24 hours notice, your agenda, obviously, has to be on the agenda. It's going to be, so the committee takes action at 9 o'clock unless you put it on the agenda in anticipation of the action. We're actually quite frankly sort of pushing right now.
Right.
Okay, Supervisor Santelope.
On the agenda, because it's going to go to the board for any positive recommendation or any
different. We have time for streets, please.
Mr. Chairman, excuse me for interrupting. I have another suggestion.
Okay.
Despite my advice, perhaps the best course of action to solve our situation is to go ahead and take a vote on the amendment.
Okay.
And then, depending on where it is on the board floor, we can provide advice to the board.
Okay, so we are going to vote on the amendment then. Okay, that means that you have to, Supervisor Santelope, withdraw the
legal vote.
Okay, so Supervisor Santelope withdraws his motion to lay over the amendment. Okay. Anybody else? All right. So what's before us, Madam Clerk, is the amendment. And so, if there's no further discussion, please call the roll.
On the amendment, Supervisors Harris?
No.
Schmidt?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Weishaupt?
No.
Broderick?
No.
Santelope?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
2 ayes, 5 noes.
So we had that whole big discussion for that, huh? Okay. Add some levity, I'm sorry. Okay. As amendment, Madam Clerk.
Don't listen to me. Please, on the item. Yes.
Yes.
Supervisor Weish.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Schmidt?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Weishon?
Aye.
Broderick?
Aye.
Sanfilippo?
No.
Mr. Chair?
No.
Four ayes, three noes.
Okay. Thank you all. We still have one other agenda item. And Attorney Grady, are you recommending that we go into closed session before we take this up?
Mr. Chairman, obviously it's the pleasure of the committee, but I would suggest a very brief question.
Okay. If that's the case, then I'm going to look to Madam Vice Chair, Supervisor Harris, to
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to go into closed session. I don't think I have to make a motion, right? We're already going. I do?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I am making a motion to go into closed session.
Yes.
Under the statute, all right, the committee may adjourn. Okay, wait, where are we at? Am I reading the right one?
Yeah, I'm looking at under the provisions.
Okay. Under the provision of Wisconsin Statute Section 19.851G, for the purpose of the committee receiving oral or written advice from legal counsel concerning strategy to be adopted with respect to pending or possible litigation with regard to the following matters. At the conclusion of the closed session, the committee may reconvene in open session to take whatever actions it may deem necessary.
Clerk, call a roll on going into closed session.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Weishon?
Aye.
Broderick?
Aye.
Sanfilippo?
No.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
Six ayes, one no.
Okay. So, we are going into closed session. Into open session then. So we're back in open. Okay, and I will learn this eventually. Madam Clerk, if you could please call the roll for determination of a quorum.
Supervisors Harris?
Here.
Schmidt?
Here.
Johnson?
Here.
Weishon?
Here.
Broderick?
Here.
Sanfilippo?
Here.
Mr. Chair?
Here.
We have seven members present. We have a quorum.
Madam Clerk, if you could read item number two that's before this committee, please.
Item number two from Corporation Counsel recommending payment in the amount of $600 in forfeitures and $6,921.80 in attorney's fees and costs to the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty in settlement of State of Wisconsin X. Rel. Wright versus Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors, case number 11CV009399.
Good. Thank you. Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move to approve payment of $6,921.80 in attorney's fees and costs to the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty settlement of this case.
Okay. Attorney Grady.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. at our prior committee's prior meeting, Supervisor Sanfilippo raised a question about the forfeiture portion of this case and whether that could be reimbursed by the county. And after good research, I determined that Supervisor Sanfilippo was correct. The statute does provide that forfeitures against public officials cannot be reimbursed by essentially anyone. They're intended to be personal liabilities of the supervisors. At the time this case was filed, at the time this meeting occurred, the county board did ask Acting Corporation Counsel Jorgensen whether he thought that the open meetings law was being violated. His response at that time was that he felt that it was not being violated. Obviously, when this case was brought, Judge Carroll ultimately determined that she disagreed and she felt that the open meetings law was being violated. Our office, Mr. Jorgensen, did raise with Judge Carroll the defense on behalf of the public officials that they acted in good faith reliance on the advice of counsel. And there is case law to the effect that if a public official relies on advice of counsel in good faith, that forfeitures are not appropriate. However, Judge Carroll apparently disagreed and did enter the forfeitures. I don't understand why she did that, but she did do that. Given the cost involved in the potential of additional attorney's fees, she would litigate that question. It was our thought that it was not worthy of further litigation. Now it's easy for me to spend some of her money, but that was my thought. So ultimately, all you're being asked to approve here is the payment of attorney's fees. The forfeitures, there was a $300 forfeiture entered against Chairman Holloway, which he will be personally liable for. These forfeitures are paid to the state of Wisconsin, not to the prevailing party. And then among the other supervisors, it is also a defense that the supervisor attempted to avoid the violation by moving to delay it, voting against the matter. So ultimately, if you look at the votes that occurred on that day, there ultimately were 9 supervisors who did not try to play it over, refer it to court counsel, or vote against it, or who were absent. And so it's our belief that $300 forfeiture against the county board supervisors minus Chairman Holloway should be divided amongst those 9 supervisors at $33.33 each. We will be advising the supervisors of that by a letter from our office. So all you're being asked to do today with respect to county funds, the county board is to pay the attorney's fees of $69.24. It's unfortunate that in this particular instance you've not been able to rely on your advice of counsel, because I think we'd like you to be able to do that. Obviously, the commission were correct, found to have been correct by Judge Carroll, our office was found to be incorrect in this advice. And so the consequence is the forfeitures.
Comments? We have, what's the president of the
pitch? Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the whole thing could have been avoided. Again, at the board, it's just not rushing through and voting on the plan mandate. We had statutory authority, sets the exact schedule and the exact procedure that has to be followed during redistricting. And the board did not follow that statute with regards to a couple instances. And we should have erred on the side of caution, and all of this could have been prevented if we would have saved even the $1,600 legal fees by just erring on the side of caution, especially when it comes to putting daylight in on an issue in front of the public to give them more time to be able to take a look at things. But the fact of the matter is the redistricting process was rushed so that a specific outcome could be forced through. And this is now the consequences that we suffer because of this.
Okay. Anybody else? A motion on the floor is to approve the attorney fees by Supervisor Johnson. Seeing no other comments, Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Supervisor Haas? Or Harris?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Weishaw?
Aye.
Broderick?
Aye.
Sanfilippo?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
7 ayes, 0 no. The item is approved.
That concludes the business of today. Thank you again for your attendance at the special meeting. We're diligent to not have special meetings.